Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And to introduce our lesson, we want to read verses 10 and 11. First Peter 3, verses 10 and 11. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Verse 10 begins with a very special blessing. I just love the way that this sounds. He that will love life and see good days. That just has a majestic ring to it, doesn't it? But it's a very beautiful thought. Loving life, seeing good days. Well, that blessing is not enjoyed by accident. Peter goes on to show us that we have some responsibilities to fulfill so that we can enjoy that blessing of loving life and seeing good days. There are some very important instructions given to us in these verses, and we've looked at them on a number of other occasions. And this evening, for a little while, we won't deal with all of these instructions, but we do want to concentrate on the fact that each Christian must refrain his tongue from evil. Now, that's a responsibility that we have to be able to enjoy the blessing of loving life and seeing good days. So this evening, for a little while, we want to concentrate on the fact that each Christian must refrain his tongue from evil. In my judgment, that's a matter that we all need to be reminded of on a regular basis. We're constantly being influenced by people who use all kinds of bad language. It's becoming more and more popular and more widespread. And we have to be on guard against that. We certainly want to love life and see good days. But in order to enjoy that blessing, we must fulfill all of these instructions that are given to us by the Apostle Peter. But we're going to concentrate for a little while on the fact that each Christian must refrain his tongue from evil. Now, in studying that particular subject, we want to turn our attention to another text of Scripture found in James chapter 3. So please turn to this letter written by the Lord's brother, James. James chapter 3, and in verses 2 through 12, James devoted quite a portion of his letter to the matter of controlling the tongue. So we're studying these verses to help us fulfill the responsibility that Peter gives us in his letter that has to do with loving life and seeing good days. You see how the Bible complements itself? Some people like to say that the Bible contradicts itself. Well, that certainly is not the case. If the Bible contradicted itself, then it could not possibly be the inspired Word of God. But the Bible does not contradict itself. The Bible complements itself. So what James wrote in this particular part of his letter helps us to understand the responsibility that Peter gave in his letter. James chapter 3, let's begin reading at verse 2 and read down through verse 12. Then we'll go back and look at these instructions in more detail. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, or rudder, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is the little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place both sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. We first want to look at verses 2, 3, and 4. And James began this portion of his letter by pointing out that the tongue is to be controlled. Notice how he begins verse 2. He indicates that because we are human, we all stumble in many ways. Now this refers to sins that we commit through weakness. However, James went on to say that if a person does not stumble in what he says, then he is a perfect or a complete or a mature individual who is able to control his whole body. I believe James is showing us just how important it is that the tongue be under control. We all sin through weakness. We have many weaknesses. You have yours and I have mine. And sometimes we give in to temptation and we transgress the will of God. But James shows just how important it is that the tongue be under control, because if a person has learned to control his tongue, he's a perfect or a complete individual in the sight of God. He knows the key to controlling his entire body. Now, James went on to give two illustrations. That's one reason why I love to study his letter. He makes things so clear you have to have help to misunderstand them. You can tell that James was our Lord's brother. Jesus was a great illustrator in his teaching. Well, James was too. Well, James gives us two illustrations to help us understand the point that he's just made. The first illustration has to do with the horse. We read about that in verse 3. Now, you and I both know that a horse may be large, he may be powerful, but if he has a bit in his mouth, his entire body will be under control. With no bit, though, the horse will be free to do as he pleases, and he will not be under control. The second illustration is in verse 4, and it has to do with a ship. A ship may be very large, but it's interesting that a very small rudder will cause that great big ship to go in the direction that the captain desires. But with no rudder, the ship will not be under the control of anyone. I think I've used this illustration before. I believe it was in World War II, one of the great big battleships was attacked. And a torpedo, if my memory is correct, lodged in the rudder. It didn't explode, but it kept the rudder from being able to turn. Consequently, that battleship, as large and powerful as it was, couldn't go anywhere except in circles. And many other smaller ships just sat back and finally sunk that big battleship. Now, that large battleship could have outrun those other ones very easily, but it wasn't under control. The rudder was not usable. I've always found that to be very interesting. That's the point that James is making here. Well, we all stumble in many ways. However, if a person has learned to control his tongue, in the sight of God, he is a complete or a mature or a perfect individual. He's able to control his entire body. Just like a small bit in the mouth of a horse will put the horse under control. If the tongue is controlled, the entire body will be under control. And the large ship with the rudder, that ship can be controlled. It will go in the direction that the captain desires. But with no rudder, there's no control. Well, the point is that Christians must have their tongues under control. What good is an uncontrolled horse? What good is an uncontrolled ship? Well, let's pursue that just a little bit further. What good is a Christian with an uncontrolled tongue? Now, that's the thing we need to talk about. And James actually has already addressed that matter in chapter 1 and verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. A person can appear to be religious. He can even claim to be religious. But if he doesn't have his tongue under control, his religion is vain, which means worthless. It serves no good purpose. So James has already answered the question, what good is a Christian with an uncontrolled tongue? Well, let's go on. Let's look at verses 5 through 8 of James chapter 3. To make sure that we understand what James is teaching, he describes the uncontrolled tongue. Now, he's already established the fact that the tongue must be controlled. In verses 5 through 8, he gives a description of the uncontrolled tongue so that we can identify it. And he starts in verse 5 by showing that in comparison to other parts of the body, the tongue is very small. And that's a matter of common sense. In comparison to other parts of the body, the tongue is relatively small. However, if it is not controlled, it's capable of boasting great things. And even though the tongue is very small, it can start a great fire. Whenever I read that statement, I think about some of the horrible forest fires that we've had over the years. Sometimes they have been caused by a small match. Now, a match can be used for good. It can start a fire that can help us to be warm, and we certainly would appreciate a nice warm fire today, wouldn't we, because of the temperatures being so cool. But a match also has the potential to do a lot of harm. Well, the tongue can be used for great good, but it also has the potential to cause a lot of harm. Now remember, James is describing the uncontrolled tongue. The tongue, in comparison to other parts of the body, is very small, but it's capable of boasting great things, and it can start a great fire. Now in verse 6, James says that the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. Now, why would James make such a statement? Well, he's helping us understand what an uncontrolled tongue is, and he's reinforcing the point that our tongues must be under control. And he went on to show in verses 7 and 8 that the tongue is untamed. Now, once again, he uses an illustration. And he talked about the fact that man has tamed all kinds of animals. I haven't been to a circus in many years, but when I was a kid, when the circus would come to town, we occasionally would go. And it amazed me how some of the animals had been trained to do certain things. Well, you know what I'm talking about. And I think about the fact that our little dog has trained us very well. Well, the point is, James says that man has tamed all kinds of animals. And you know, some very large and powerful animals have been tamed and trained to do certain things. However, while man has tamed all kinds of animals, no man has ever been able to tame the tongue. James says it's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison, like a poisonous snake. Now we have to understand what James is teaching us. The tongue can be tamed, but only the person who owns it can tame it. I cannot tame your tongue. You cannot tame mine. You see, each person is responsible for taming his own tongue. Well, man has tamed all kinds of animals, but no man has ever tamed someone else's tongue. Each person is responsible for taming or controlling his own tongue. Now, what's the key to doing that? The key to taming or controlling the tongue is having good things in the heart. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12 and consider again what Jesus said to the religious people of his day that had accused him of casting out a demon by the power of Beelzebub. Matthew 12, let's read verses 34 and 35. This is a part of the Lord's response to those people who brought that criticism against him. You know, when I think about these Pharisees accusing Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, I get just a little bit angry. I wish they hadn't said that, but that provided the Lord with an opportunity to say some things that may have helped other people. And the things recorded are helping us even today. He shows us that the key to controlling the tongue is having the right things in the heart. Listen to verses 34 and 35. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Well, the key to taming or controlling the tongue is having the right things in the heart. You see, our words are an indication of what's on the inside. Now, my mother happened to believe that the key to helping a child not say bad words was to wash his mouth out with soap. Well, that goes a long way toward teaching a child not to use bad words. But when that child grows up, he needs to understand that he has to have the right things in the heart. If he has the right things in the heart, then the words will take care of themselves. Now, if he has the wrong things in the heart, that's going to be demonstrated by the words that he speaks. So Jesus, in these verses, gave us the key to having a controlled or a tamed tongue. That is, having good things in the heart. So James first emphasizes the point that the tongue is to be controlled. Well, to help us understand exactly what he's talking about, he gives us a description of the uncontrolled tongue and shows what great harm it can cause. But then in verses 9 through 12, James shows us that the tongue is to be used consistently. Now remember why we're studying these verses in James. Peter tells us about loving life and seeing good days. In order to enjoy that blessing, we must refrain our tongues from evil. These verses in James chapter 3 will help us to understand and to put into practice that which Peter tells us. The tongue is to be used consistently. Look at verses 9 and 10. James shows us that we use our tongues inconsistently if we bless God and curse men. Now, exactly what would that include? This is not a complete list, but this includes sins such as gossip, slander, railing, backbiting, whispering, talebearing, and murmuring. Now, there are many more that could be listed, but we use our tongues inconsistently if we bless God on the one hand and then curse men on the other hand. Now, James says, "My brethren, these things ought not so to be." In other words, Christians shouldn't participate in that kind of behavior. Now, once again, James supplies us with some illustrations. In verses 11 and 12, he gave three. Now, he's illustrating the point that the tongue is to be used consistently. We're not to use our tongues inconsistently, and what he's talking about is blessing God on the one hand and cursing men on the other hand. Look at the three illustrations that are used. Does a spring, that is a spring of water, bring forth both fresh and salt water at the same time? That won't happen. You know what would break my heart? Well, many things would, but I particularly enjoy drinking Zephyr Hill spring water. Now, people outside of Florida may not appreciate that. I drink a lot of it. If one day I was really hot and thirsty and I was wanting a cool drink of water, if I reached in my little cooler and pulled out a nice cold glass of or cup of a bottle of Zephyr Hills water, and I took the cap off of it, just like this right here, and I took a big swig of it, and it was salt water, I tell you what, that would just break my heart. I couldn't handle that. Well, if salt water came up at the Zephyr Hill Springs, we know that something was wrong. Now, James is illustrating the fact that our tongues are to be used consistently. We're to avoid using them inconsistently. And it doesn't make any sense for a spring to produce both fresh water and salt water at the same time. Now, we know about the dangers of salt water intrusion. I'm not getting into that. I'm talking about a well of water producing both salt water and fresh water at the same time. That's just inconsistent. It doesn't make any sense. Doesn't serve any good purpose, does it? Well, James already shown what use there is for a Christian with an uncontrolled tongue. One way that the tongue is uncontrolled is if it's used inconsistently, that is, by blessing God and cursing men. Another illustration. Does a fig tree bear olives? Certainly not. A fig tree produces figs. An olive tree produces olives. That's the way God designed things at the very beginning. And I'm persuaded that at the beginning, He designed our tongues to be used for good too. The other illustration is, can a grapevine bear figs? No, a grapevine produces grapes. A fig bush produces figs. You wouldn't go to a grapevine and expect to find figs. That's just not going to happen. And once again, James is illustrating the fact that the tongue is to be used consistently. We do not use our tongues consistently if we bless God and curse men. Well, I believe that these verses in James chapter 3 help us understand what Peter's telling us about one of the requirements for loving life and seeing good days. Our tongues must be refrained from evil. And that's a personal responsibility that each of us has. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. Now, we can share these instructions with one another. That's the way God intended for things to be. But each person is responsible for controlling his own tongue. And in doing so, we love life and we'll see good days. Now, a person who has things in his heart such as envy, uncontrolled anger, hatred, and vengeance probably will have a difficulty controlling his tongue because, you see, he doesn't have the right things in the heart. However, a person who has good things in his heart, such as gentleness, compassion, mercy, and patience, probably will not have a problem controlling his tongue. You see, it's a matter of having the right things in the heart. Perhaps you're beginning to figure out why earlier we sang, "Purer in heart, O God, help me to be." Having a pure heart is one of the keys to having a controlled tongue. Well, what's the key to having the right things in the heart? Solomon answered that question years ago in Proverbs 23:7. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's imperative that we think about the right things, that we dwell on the right things, if we meditate upon the right things. That will determine the condition of the heart, and the condition of the heart will determine the words that we speak. You see how all of these passages just go together like a puzzle? They all help us to be the kind of people that the Lord wants us to be. God, help us to think about these matters not only in this service, but tomorrow, each day this week, each day this year, and if we will do these things for a whole year, it'll become a part of our lives and we'll just do them automatically. You see how that works? Well, he that will love life and see good days. That doesn't come about by accident. One thing that we must do is refrain our tongues from evil. James helps us to understand what's involved in doing that.